Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.
To Activity Quest, the podcast packed with things to do. My name is Bex, and in this episode,
Sir Quentin Blake,
Lauren Chai, Julia Donaldson, Sir Michael Morpurgo, Chris Riddell, Michael Rosen, Dame Jacqueline Wilson, and me.
Yeah, that's Cressida Cowell. And Anna Louise becomes a mermaid. Wait, what?
Yep, it's true. Did you know that whether you're a girl or a boy, anyone can learn how to swim as a mermaid with your very own fins and a tail too. Well, earlier this week, I went along to South Coast Mermaids and I swapped my legs for scales and I took on the mermaid transformation. I've just walked past the castle, through the ruins and round to Arundel Lido, where I'm about to become a mermaid for the first time ever. Anna, what skills do I need to become and transform into this mystical character?
So, the first thing you have to be able to do is you have to be able to swim. And you can do a little bit of a dolphin kick, but I can help with that. So you don't have to be able to swim butterfly, but a little bit of dolphin kick will help.
I love the butterfly. It's my favourite stroke.
It's not the easiest, though. It's not the easiest. The kick can come quite naturally, but I think the arms are a bit harder.
And what are the fins made of that I'm going to be wearing?
They've got a hard plastic insert, and it's got a neoprene cover over the top. The reason why we use those is because the Royal Life Saving Society have checked them and said that they're safe, which is great, and we're on board with that. But also, the neoprene slips over your ankles. So if you can kick with your feet together, like a little bit of butterfly, then your feet will stay in. But if you need to get out for any reason, they've got a quick release, which is really important because sometimes you can just feel like you don't want to do it, or you've got cramp in your foot and you can just kick out of them.
Are they heavy in the water?
No. So what's great about these fins too is they're buoyancy neutral. If you float, they float. And if you want to go under the water, they'll go underwater with you.
And am I going to be learning any mermaid tricks?
Oh, for sure. So we're going to be doing some tail flicks, which is great. It splashes everyone behind you. And we're going to be doing some handstands. We can learn some mermaid rolls. And we can do some more advanced skills. So you can do forward rolls and backward rolls and then handstands with tail flicks as well.
If I went swimming in the sea with a mermaid tail on, what do you reckon the fish and the dolphins would make of me swimming by?
I reckon it'd be totally normal. You're a proper mermaid.
Of course. I'm a total pro. I asked for the brightest, fishiest colour tail because there's all sorts of rainbow colours of mermaid fins. And I've been given the rainbow shiny fin. I'm sitting down at the edge of the pool. You've got to put your feet into the edge of the fins, which are like two pairs of socks that are tucked on the inside of what looks like a dolphin fin. I'm pulling it up. You've got to lay back and wiggle it in. Oh, like a really tight sort of lycra suit. I'm in. And I'm wiggling towards the water. It's really slidey and slippery. And my feet and my legs are pressed together in the tail. There is no room to move. And I now can't walk. I now know how the little mermaid feels. I'll be singing for my legs.
Right.
At the end of the day.
Last safety information before we get in.
I'm bum shuffling towards the edge of the pool and I've got to swivel into the pool at a certain angle and hold on to the side as I slide in.
It's going to be that we're going to do about 10-15 minutes of me sort of teaching. Get yourself in if you want. So we're going to go for a little mermaid kick over to the other side. You can do this with your hands above your head.
right? When you're ready, of course.
To breathe, you're going to do breaststroke arms. So you kick, 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 and then breaststroke arms to breathe, which will make things a lot easier.
I've just done my first lap as a mermaid, and it's really tough trying to keep your legs completely strapped into this tail and move at the same time and get deep down, diving low. Just done a mermaid leap where you push yourself off the side, you grip on, you push your tail off the side of the pool, launch into the water and flick your tail into the air as high as you can. It creates a big splash. Water flies everywhere. It takes a lot of energy as well with the heavy tail attached to your body. It's hard work, this mermaid malarkey. Right now I've got a drone buzzing above my head, which sounds like a giant bumblebee, taking videos from overhead, capturing the moment that our tails pop out of the water, and then we get to do our big mermaid lunge and flick our tails, sending water droplets right the way across the pool. I'm going to give it another go and dive back in. I've got my legs back, and it feels so bizarre. I feel like I should be a mermaid forever, Anna. That was just the most surreal experience, and I don't want to leave it behind. I think I could spend all night long swimming up and down with my fins. I'm sad to let them go. Is that how everyone feels after a mermaid session?
It's just magical, isn't it? It's just magical, and it's so much fun.
But take us back to the beginning. What inspired you to launch these classes?
So I'm a primary school teacher originally and a swimming teacher, because I love them both, but I kept seeing children, and especially girls, drop out of swimming once they learned to swim. And I was looking at why, because there's so many opportunities, from diving to synchronized swimming to, you know, competitive swimming. And it became really clear that they found swimming boring and they didn't just like swimming up and down and doing lengths. So I wanted to have something that was fun and kept them active and just enjoying the water again. And mermaid and merman swimming was the perfect solution. If you look at a lot of activities, and activities especially for girls, a lot of them are really competitive. So even netball, you know, badminton, tennis, they're all competitive sports. But this is something that just is fun, and it just brings joy, I believe, to people's lives. So if you didn't know, Disney are re-releasing The Little Mermaid as a live action film. So that's going to make things really popular again. But also I'm seeing children, a lot of girls, that have seen my mermaid classes that I know will want to do it and actually have a real incentive to learn to swim, because obviously I can't take children until they can swim. So it provides a real incentive, like there's going to be a treat once they learn to swim.
If someone's listening right now and they think, oh, I want to be a mermaid for the day, what can they do?
So learn to swim first. That's the most important thing. So really get good at swimming. And there are loads of swim schools all around, and they're opening back up again now, which is fantastic. So once you can swim, then you can look for your local mermaid swim school. So I work with Swim England and the Royal Life Saving Society, and they work with FinterFit. So there's kind of an umbrella of companies, and we run classes all over the country. But there are other people as well that run classes, so you can look up your local mermaid school as well. And we want everyone to be safe in the water. So if you're doing advanced skills like mermaiding or monofin swimming, then it's really important that we get that safety first and we get you really confident in the water, and then we can have all the fun.
That was the founder of South Coast Mermaids, Anna Haskell. Make sure you check out the Fun Kids website later this week to see me in action performing those mermaid tricks in my fins and tail, rainbow coloured of course. We'll have photos and drone footage as well following me underwater.
Wow, thanks Anna Louise. Remember, the rules on what we can and can't do changed recently, but you should still check before you travel, book in advance, and always follow the guidance wherever you are. And whatever you get up to, whether it's becoming a mermaid or something else entirely, we want to know! You can leave us a 5-star review wherever it is you're listening to this, or get in touch at funkidslive.com/activityquest. We'll read your comments next week, just like this one from TigerEye104 on Apple Podcasts. Now, TigerEye says, "This is such a good podcast! It helped me get through lockdowns and it's made me laugh a lot. I love Bex and all the Fun Kids presenters. You're all so funny!" And then, like, a bunch of emojis. But really, the most important thing in that message is that TigerEye says they love me. Thank you very much. Now, if you do love me as well, or if you want to leave a review, just go online to wherever it is you're listening to this. And, of course, make sure you share Activity Quest with a friend. Now, if you can't become a mermaid, here's what else you could do.
Enjoy live shows and feel-good films from the safety and comfort of your own private patch. It's called the Alfresco Theatre. You'll be served food from some of the UK's finest chefs, including Tom Kerridge and Rick Stein, offering a tasty mix of big-screen movies, comedy gigs, live music and shows, including family favourite The Gruffalo, live on stage. There are 6 locations, from Bluewater in Kent to Blenheim Palace and more. thealfrescotheatre.co.uk to find out more. If you're in London, there's a massive outdoor art exhibition happening right now. It's so big that it spans neighbourhoods Mayfair and Belgravia. Wonder Art is showcasing some of the most exciting and innovative outdoor art installations from 12 world-renowned artists. Mayfairandbelgravia.com to see the map. Brand new for 2021 is Zog and the Quest for the Golden Star at Warwick Castle. The new activity trail is for all dragons in training. That's you. From flying high without actually leaving the ground to testing out fearsome roars and, of course, learning to capture a princess. You also get to join in with Sir Gadabout's School for Ambitious Knights as a final challenge. The Zog activity trail is available every day until the 5th of September and is included in the price of tickets to Warwick Castle. Adults are £12, kids are 6, warwick-castle.com. And maybe we've saved the best till last, and it's nothing but the best in Match of the Day magazine's Best of the Best special. You can pick up your copy in stores now. Check out the 50 greatest footballers of all time, relive the top 10 most magical moments in World Cup history, and discover which players make the best ever Premier League 11. The Match of the Day team also looks at the best ever Champions League teams, the best footy computer games, boots, kits, and women's Super League players. Plus, one lucky reader will get their hands on a sick new Nintendo Switch Lite. What's more, there's 10 amazing gifts inside, so don't miss out on Match of the Day magazine's Best of the Best special. I told you it was the best. In shops now.
Loads of stuff for you to do there. Just remember, check before you travel, book in advance, and always follow the guidance wherever you are. And whatever you do, tell them that Activity Quest sent you. Now, Cressida Cowell is the Waterstones Children's Laureate. She is the author of How to Train Your Dragon and loads of other books, and a bit of an Activity Quest veteran. This is her third appearance on the show. Me and her are basically BFFs now. I caught up with her to find out about books, libraries, and the importance of both of them. She's written a letter to the government to ask for more money for books and librarians.
I have backup. It's all the former laureates. It's the first time this really happened, that all the literacy charities, so Book Trust and the Centre for Literacy and Primary Education and the National Literacy Trust, all of them, the School Library Association, they've all called for a figure from the government to the Prime Minister. We wrote the letter to the Prime Minister, a figure for school libraries that of £100 million a year that will be ring-fenced, that has to be spent on school libraries extra, so that schools can buy books that look like sweets, not Brussels bags, so that schools can have a school librarian, you know, or somebody in the staff at the very least, on the staff, who's trained at getting the right book into the hands of the right child at the right time, so that schools can develop a reading culture, a reading for pleasure culture. That's one part. The second part is setting up gold standard libraries, so the best libraries in the world, in 6 schools across the UK. These are the libraries I'd like to see in every single school in the UK, where we're gonna parachute in, you know, thousands of of exciting books that where the books look like sweets, not Brussels sprouts. And the books are joyful and modern and exciting and relevant. And we're also going to develop a reading culture in those schools. There's going to be the School Libraries Association is going to be training up a member of staff. It's all going to be about reading for the joy of it. And we're going to have the library's going to be decorated joyfully with pictures that I've designed. And we've got Tony boxes, which are these special things that you put in a card and the book is read to you.
It feels like you're kind of, you know, you're kind of the Willy Wonka of the book world. You're creating the most perfect, instead of a chocolate factory, the most perfect library. I love the sound of these.
Yes, that's a great, that's what I want to be. Yes, life. Chocolate factory libraries.
My goodness. You know, at my primary school, which is in Solihull, if anybody's listening, they'll know it. It has a kind of a wooden Land Rover in the middle of the library. And so books were stacked in the trailer at the back. And then it was like a race. It was the most exciting thing in the world to get to read and to get to read in the middle of a fake Land Rover. And you know, it just added an extra excitement. And I think anything you can do to make books more exciting is brilliant.
That's just so imaginative. You see, that's what it's about. It's about making books joyful things, because all the statistics are about that. They're about reading for pleasure, reading for the joy of it. We're going to go into schools which have no libraries at all and these really sad, dead spaces and create these wonderful things like the library that you remember with the Land Rover in it, you know, where children want to pick up the books and are excited about being there. That's the whole point.
Oh my goodness. You know, honestly, if you were a kid in my school, if you got to sit and read a book where the driver's seat was, you were absolutely king of the castle. It was incredible. I should also say, you did mention you've had a kind of Avengers Assemble moment. You've got together the other children's laureates. Can you tell us who they are? Because some of our listeners might not know the list of legends you've got there.
Oh my goodness. I don't want to leave one off because there's 10 of them.
Of course.
This would be terrible. I've got to make sure that this is in no particular order.
It's definitely not preference order, is it? Okay, good.
Because they're all as important as each other. As you know, this is brilliant. I've now found a list that lists them in alphabetical order. This is Avengers Assemble. The laureate team.
I love it.
There is Mallory Blackman, honestly, and everybody's OBE. I won't even read out all their fancy titles.
Oh my goodness, I bet.
Mallory Blackman, OBE, Sir Quentin Blake, Anthony Brown, Lauren Child, Julia Donaldson, and fine, Sir Michael Morpurgo, Chris Riddell, Michael Rosen, Dame Jacqueline Wilson, and me. Isn't that cool?
Oh my goodness, you've made my day by reading that out like that.
Let's assemble.
Honestly, I mean, but that's a crowd-pleasing list of people if ever I heard one, right?
Seriously, I'll tell you, this is how important we all think this is. Yeah, and everybody in the literacy charity, all of the experts think this is vital. Yeah, and we've been asking for this for 20 years, all of these wonderful laureates. And when I sent them my letter, literally they answered practically by return. They all answered within 24 hours, "I sign," he said, practically by return. Yeah. Laureates Assemble. Library for everyone. Magic libraries for everyone. That's what we need in every single school. Every single child deserves this. The magic of magical chocolate factory libraries coming in every school.
Yeah, I'm so with you on this. So for our listeners, well, first of all, is there anything they can do to help, or do you have anywhere they can go to learn a little bit more about how to motivate themselves in reading again?
Get an adult to go on Twitter and look up the hashtag Life-Changing Libraries. Tweet in support. We're asking adults again to write to their MP. I think on the Book Trust website we're going to come up with a letter, that a kind of a template of a letter that you can write to your MP to support. You know, watch my campaign. We're going to be talking about this on the Book Trust website. These six schools who are going to have these chocolate factory gold standard school libraries.
It was so great to catch up with Cressida. Now, one of my favourite things I've ever suggested on Activity Quest is to create a reading nook. So Why not give that a go this week? The perfect reading nook for me, I think, would be somewhere very, very cosy indeed. Full of cushions, full of pillows, good lighting, of course, and very quiet. I can't read if there's music in the background. I need lovely peace and quiet. So make your own reading nook and tell me all about it. Whatever you do, go to funkidslive.com/activityquest. Remember to rate, review and follow this podcast wherever it is you're listening to it. I'm Bex. This has been a podcast from the UK's children's radio station, Fun Kids. You can listen to me on DAB Digital Radio, online, on the free Fun Kids mobile app, and on your smart speaker. Just say Play Fun Kids every weekday from 4 p.m. See you soon. So that was a podcast from the children's radio station, Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.